Gam pipilikai kamandalo jale nakshat divye namo garadasa shri narada uvacha iti uktva divabo devo Vakshi tangam pipilikai Kamandalu jale nakshat Divya namo garadasa Prabhus Shri Narada Uvacha Tikritva Deva Bodevo Vaishnavis. Srinara Uvacha Sri Narada Muni said Iti thus Uktva Sain Adibhava Lord Brahma the original living creature within this universe Devaha the principal demigod Bhakshita Angam Hiranyakashipu's body which had been almost completely eaten Pipilikai by the ants Kamandalu from the special water pot in the hands of Lord Brahma Jalena by water Akshat sprinkled Divyana which was spiritual not ordinary Amoga without fail Radasa whose power Translation Sri Narada Muni continued After speaking these words to Hiranyakashipu, Lord Brahma, the original being of this universe, who is extremely powerful, sprinkled transcendental, infallible, spiritual water from his kamandalo upon Hiranyakashipu's body. Which had been eaten away by ants and moths. Thus he enlivened Hiranyakashipu. Sri Narada Muni continued after speaking these words to Hiranyakashipu, Lord Brahma, the original being of this universe, who is extremely powerful, sprinkled transcendental, infallible, spiritual water from his kamandalu, upon Hiranyakashipu's body, which had been eaten away by ants and moths. Thus he enlivened Hiranyakashipu. Purport by his divine grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta, Swami Srila Prabhupada, Ki Jaya. Lord Brahma is the first created being within this universe and is empowered by the Supreme Lord to create. Tene Brahma Riya Adi Kavaye. The Adi Deva or Adi Kavi, the first living creature, was personally taught by the Supreme Personality of Godhead through the heart. There was no one to teach him, but since the Lord is situated within Brahma's heart, Brahma was educated by the Lord himself. Lord Brahma, being especially empowered, is infallible in doing whatever he wants. This is the meaning of the word Anuga Radasha. He desired to restore Hiranyakashipu's original body, and therefore, by sprinkling transcendental water from his water pot, he immediately did so. Om Jnanatimirandasya Jnananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutare Shri Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Paschatya Deshatadine Banchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhya Evacha Patidanam Bhavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namah. So Srimad Bhagavatam, 7th Canto, Chapter 3, Hiranyakashipu's plan to become immortal. So this scene, it's kind of a prelude to what's going to happen. As we all know, and we heard many, many times, the pastimes of Lord Nrisimhadev protecting Prahlad, Hiranyakashipu needed to become especially powerful to be able to dare the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So there are a few angles when we read Srimad Bhagavatam that are important and have to be analyzed. One is the historical aspect. We need to know who is who did what, and when. So we see the sequence of these stories in the Bhagavatam. So now we have Brahma, a great personality, and as we have been hearing in the previous Bhagavatam classes, before this one, Hiranyakashipu was doing so many austerities, such powerful austerities, that the whole universe was disturbed. And the devatas, they complain to Lord Brahma, do something, right? You are our boss, you are our manager. So you have to do something. So Lord Brahma, doing his duty, as bosses should do, took action. So he, accompanied by some other great personalities, Bhrigu Muni and others, went to talk to Hiranyakashipu and see what's happening. So when he saw this display of power and determination and austerities, then he decided to go with it, right? And I remember the first time I read this, I thought, why Brahma would do this, right? If you think about it, right? Here it is, Hiranyakashipu wanting to offend, attack the demigods, challenge Vishnu, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And there it is, Brahma contributing for that to happen. So what's the logic? Right? So whose side Brahma was on? Yeah? Why would he do that? It's like if you have somebody that has, I don't know, serial killer instincts, and you go and give him a machine gun or something. You know, you wouldn't do that. But of course, we understand that there's a higher purpose in all this. So many things we can say, do not have logic. What was it? A few days ago, something was discussed about logic in argument. Logic and reasoning. So is this logic that Lord Brahma, being the top devata, he is contributing for this offense to happen? So the thing is, particularly in this section, the topic of protection, or the aspect of the Lord protecting his devotee, is discussed. This is Prahlad Maharaj's pastime. The message of this pastime is that the Lord protects his devotees. That's the shortcut to all these many hundreds of verses in this pastime. The Lord protects his devotees. And as it is explained by Srila Prabhupada and previous acharyas, the Bhagavatam is like the expansion of the essential teachings of Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita. Right? In the Bhagavad Gita, as we know, several times Krishna says, "I will protect you." Right? Right? Do you remember some of those verses? Right? Anyone can quote? No? Sarva Dharmam Paritaya, the famous one, and several others. Tasham Aham Samudharta, I will personally save you. Krishna says, 12, somewhere, 6, 7, 7, I think. What? Paritranaya Sadunam. Right? So many verses. Krishna is saying, I will protect my devotee. Right? Even at the time of death, right? He says, I will protect you. Right? So we want to know, how is that he protects us? If we become devotees, that's it. How is that he protects his devotees? So here this pastime particularly demonstrates that, how Krishna protects his devotees. But there are many points, or there are many aspects of this pastime, and also this verse. Srila Prabhupada here is mentioning Lord Brahma. Lord Brahma is one of the 12 Mahajans, one of the great professors, Srila Prabhupada called them. One of the great lecturers, you know, when you go to university and then, you know, you have these big, big guns of, I don't know, law and medicine and philosophy and whatever else, economics nowadays, those are the popular ones, right? So you want to listen from them. What do they have to say? Right? And there are a few things Prabhupada mentions in the purport. There are a few similarities, we may say, in regards of Lord Brahma. One of them is that Lord Krishna personally instructed him. Right? Remember the purport? Prabhupada said that no one else was around to teach Lord Brahma. So Krishna taught him from within. Right? We know. Do we all know the first verse of Srimad Bhagavatam? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati once was asked an intimate question about, I think, the gopis and lilas and things like that. He was in Dhaka, in Bangladesh. I had the opportunity to see that temple, to go to that Gaudiya Math in Dhaka. And in that place, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati gave, I think, 2 months, 3 months class on the first verse, right? So the person asked, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati asked, "Do you know the first verse? You know, somebody knows the first verse? Can refresh our memory? Janma diyasya yato mayadi taratas chartesu, etc., etc. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya," and then the whole verse comes, one of the longest verses, right? So if we want to know Srimad Bhagavatam, we need to know the beginning. We need to know whom are we approaching. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Who's this Vasudevaya? Who's this Lord Krishna, the Supreme Personality of Godhead? So, as I said, there are different aspects. One of these aspects is the historical aspect. So we know who Lord Brahma is, right? He also was given Bhagavatam in essence, as You know, in Bhagavad Gita, there are the Chaturslokis. Where are they located? I'm just asking so you don't fall asleep. Chapter 10, text number 8, 9, 10, 11. Yeah? Chatursloki. And in the Srimad Bhagavatam, also there's a Chatursloki. Right? Where is that located? Second canto? Yeah? No? I forgot. Second canto, ninth chapter? Eighth chapter? No one? Pandit here to help us? Yeah? Four slokas are there, which in essence give all the philosophy of the Bhagavatam. Yeah? And those verses were given to Lord Brahma. So, in other words, I'm trying to emphasize the fact that Lord Brahma is a great personality. He's not just an extra that appears and then he does something. He's a great, great personality. Right? And what I'm trying to lead this discussion is on the fact that Krishna empowers, because this is how Prabhupada starts his commentary on this verse. He says, Lord Brahma is the first created being within this universe and is empowered by the Supreme Lord to create. Right? Now, he is empowering Lord Brahma to create. Right? And he not only creates, but he can do so many things, like bring someone alive. Like practically, Hiranyakashipu was dead. His body was almost gone. And Srila Prabhupada explains that he was able, by his mystic powers, to maintain his life air within his bones, because his flesh has been eaten away by the, what's the word in Bengali or in Sanskrit also? Pipra. Right? And here is the same word. I was trying to learn some Bengali. Pipilikai. Where is that? Pipilikai. There it is. Tripra. So, the ants and moths had eaten away his body. So, Krishna empowered Lord Brahma to create and do these miracles, these almost magical things, bring someone alive and give him so many benedictions to Hiranyakashipu. Right? And you can ponder why Lord Brahma did that anyway. We don't have time to go into that. But the essence of this pastime is that there is a reason why Nisinghadev appears, right? Paritranaya Sadunam. Srila Prabhupada gives a class, I believe it's 7, 8, 9, somewhere, where he says that, how's that verse? Paritranaya Sadunam, Vinasaya Chaduskritam. Right? And he refers to this pastime. In this pastime, he shows how he does these two things. He destroys the miscreants and then he protects his devotees. Right? But Prabhupada says in that lecture that actually Krishna doesn't have to come to kill the miscreants. He says he doesn't even have to come or do anything. They will take care of themselves. There will be war, there will be famine, there will be earthquakes, there will be all these disasters, there will be terminal diseases, etc. And anyway, there is all age in the best of cases. So demons will be taken care of by their own actions, demoniac actions, vikarmi actions. But he rather personally takes care of the aspect of protecting his devotees. Now the question is how to be protected by the Lord, right? We all want to be protected. We don't want anybody... Actually, if you read the requests from Hiranyakashipu, they're not too bad, right? We don't want to be just killed like that. We don't want to, I don't know, go through an accident or to a horrible disease. You know, you're not... You know, wanting somebody comes and attacks you with whatever, guns or hands or whatever. You don't want, yeah? Or somebody has some issues here that, you know, you want to be tortured, you want to suffer. Who here wants to suffer? Anybody here wants to suffer? That's right. That's not a common thing to feel or to want. So we all want protection. We all want safety, right? But here there is a few things in regards of this empowerment that the Lord does. So the question is, how do you become empowered? Lord Brahma was empowered to create. Prahlad Maharaj was empowered to preach. No? Chaitanya Charitamrita explains, Krishna Shakti Vinana He Tare Pravartana Kali Kaler Dharma Nama Sankirtana. That in this age of Kali, you cannot preach this Sankirtan unless you are empowered, Krishna Shakti. So we pray that we are empowered to serve. That's our prayer. Prahlad Maharaj, he prays when Lord Nrisimhadev asked him about a blessing, a boon. And he said, I want the blessing that I can take the sins of all these people, these fools and rascals, that they don't care about devotional service. Let me help them to be delivered. Right? And in Chaitanya Charitamrita also, we have that prayer, Vasudev Datta, prays in the same way. And Prabhupada, in the purport, he also refers to the prayer of Prahlad Maharaj. So how do you become empowered? How do you become recipient of this mercy of the Lord? For example, in chapter 12, in the last verses, how many verses in chapter 12 of the Bhagavad Gita are there? Who remembers? One of the shortest verses, right? 20, yay. This side is winning. So 20 verses, very short ones. And the last few ones, Krishna gives us a very nice secret. How can we become dear to Him? He describes a devotee and then He says, He is dear to me. And He is dear to me. And the next verse, He is very dear to me. And the last verse says, He's very, very dear to me. That's Krishna. He's opening up. He's giving His password, His, you know, how you entered into His realm. So the process of being empowered, according to the Shastras, according to Prabhupada's example, is that you have to give yourself, you have to sign up, right? This is our struggle, right? I mean, I'm assuming that some of you are still struggling with fully applying Krishna consciousness, fully applying devotional services. Sometimes we are performing quite well and then we have some problem and then we slow down, and then that's a symptom of a nail fight. Huh? So when we're in this platform, we're struggling to fill this criteria of obtaining the empowerment of Krishna. In order to serve the devotees, you need to have some kind of blessings. That's why, if you think about it, our process is full of prayers, right? From the morning till the last one, everything is full of prayers. We're asking the Guru to bless us, you know? Bande Gurusri Charanaravindam. We pray at His feet, right? That we can be engaged. That's the idea. Now, how to become qualified for that empowerment? And it's very simple. In fact, Srila Prabhupada very kindly has presented this complex and deep philosophy in a very simplified way. And there is very simple. Today I was reading some of the lectures of Srila Prabhupada around Prahlad Maharaj teachings. And why Prahlad Maharaj? How old was Prahlad Maharaj? 5 years old. So Prahlad Maharaj teachings are very direct, very specific. Just like a surgeon, you know, the who remembers the translation of Oma Gyana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurun Militam Jina Tasmai Sri Gunave Namaha. That because we are blinded by these cataracts of ignorance, we cannot see, we cannot understand. Seeing is synonym of understanding. So we cannot see. We have forgotten, we have become attracted to the material illusory energy of the Lord. So we don't know, we cannot see. So we need someone to help us see. So if you have problems like I have to use lenses to see far, right? So I cannot see. I need an aid. I need extra. You know, naturally I cannot see too clear at a far distance. So in the same way, we need the assistance of somebody to help us see, to help us understand. Right? So, the process of empowerment means that we have to put ourselves willing to accept this Krishna consciousness. Then Krishna can empower us. Right? And as I was saying, Srila Prabhupada made this process very simple. And he was very fond of Prahlad Maharaj's teachings. And Prahlad Maharaj basically says, in a summarized form, that we have to desire nothing. Right? We want this empowerment to be able to do some seva for Krishna, for Guru, for the devotees. But we have to also analyze what's the quality, what's the motivation of that desire. Why do I want to preach? Why do I want to build a temple for Krishna? Why do I want to distribute thousands of plates or books, prasadam, to people. Why? Just to please Krishna or also to get some gain? Right? That's Prahlad Maharaj's teachings. Right? That your desire should be totally pure. So at least we should know, just like when you're driving. Well, not in India or not in West Bengal at least, because in West Bengal you don't find a white line in the middle of the road, right? In other areas, I think South India, you have better road systems, right? And you have a definition. Here in West Bengal, it's just road for one car, and that's it. God helps you, right? So, we need to know. These teachings are like the white line. So you know that you have to drive on this side of the road to be safe. At least you know. You may swerve at times, you may be a little naughty and, you know, but you know, you should know that if you desire anything else but the pleasure of Krishna, samsidhi haritoshanam, if you desire anything else, that empowerment wouldn't be there, right? The empowerment to save yourself, the empowerment to save others, right? That it's our reality, or some of us, I guess. That's why there's one purport where Prabhupada says that our duty is to serve those great acharyas who are preaching the mission of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So whether we are struggling more or less, or whether we are already free from desires, akama sarva kamova, doesn't matter what, we need to engage ourselves in helping someone like Prahlad Maharaj. Right? Someone who's preaching tirelessly to help others. That's Prahlad Maharaj's mood. I don't want anything for me. That's his prayer. I want everything for them. And even if I have to suffer for them, okay, let that be my prayer. Let that be my boon, my benediction. This is my prize, my reward. This is my check pay. Right? This is what I want. Of course, we can see that some of our condition, it's very far from what Prahlad Maharaj's state of mind is. And we can see that that was Prabhupada's mentality. Prabhupada had how many heart attacks? 2 heart attacks. when he was in the boat, and then he had one stroke when he arrived in New York, and he was paralyzed from the neck down. He was taken to the hospital, and then were putting needles and doing all these tests. And then he called, I think it was Brahmananda and Garga Muni, I believe, right? And he told them, just get me out from here. So, you know, devotees are bold, right? And they tricked the nurses and everyone else. They were Prabhupada in a, I don't know, it was a wheelchair or a stretcher or something, and then just took him somewhere, somehow. You know, somebody was waiting with a van, and then they took Prabhupada away. And then Prabhupada said, just massage my body, right? And chant Nisinghadev prayers. That's what he said. That's his power. So if we can serve a personality like him, or those who are serving his mission, then we have a chance. Right? We have a chance to one day not have material desires, one day really want to be empowered to serve Krishna for the sake of his pleasure, not for our position. Right? Sometimes, you know, you lead kirtan and you may be carried away because you're a good kirtan leader and you're a good mirdanga player, or you're a super pujari or jagya maker or life member maker or preacher or whatever you are. Always the chance to become proud and to become derailed from a road of pleasing Krishna. It's always there. So, is it Irani? Plan Maharaj, I believe, or Srila Prabhupada, I forgot. It was in the purport on the prayers themselves. That we are the worst enemy. Right? We are the worst enemy in our path of Krishna consciousness. Many times. And one of the tricks of this enemy, generally the mind, we blame the mind. Sannyasi used to preach to us back home in South America. He used to say, why are you always blaming the mind? Oh, my mind. My mind is so terrible. Huh? My senses are so wild. Why don't you take responsibility? You are the one who's terrible. You are the one who's wild. It's your desire, not your mind. That's the easy way out. Right? My mind says this, my mind says that. Oh, it's my mind. I'm okay. I'm saintly. You see, I'm a nice person. Right? I deserve your mercy. Right? So, there are many tricks that the mind plays. But the medicine to that is to hear these instructions. And Prahlad Maharaj, although, you know, I was realizing when I was researching or reading some of these statements from Prabhupada in regards to Prahlad Maharaj's teachings, that Prahlad Maharaj is just a 5-year-old boy and he's talking so heavily. He's calling people dogs and rascals and asses, and right? Because we are wasting our time. And doesn't matter how many times we hear it. How many times you heard this? Am I shocking anybody? How many times you heard this? This is verses from Bhagavatam, right? How many times? I remember once we were hearing an offering to Srila Prabhupada by Bodhijan Prabhu in Perth, in Australia. And he had research on Vedavase. How many times Prabhupada used the word rascal? How many times? I forgot now. Hundreds. 530 something. I don't know. It's like incredible number. Rascal, 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 rascal. Right? So it's like our surname. You know, we only need the passport photo on top of it. And that's it. That's us. But we hear it again and again and again, these instructions. But sometimes, you know, it's so hard. We say, yeah, it's so hard. It is hard in the same proportion that we understand, that we desire, and that we apply ourselves to this process. Right? If we understand, right? If somebody goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, if you keep eating paneer, you will die in 6 months. Would you keep eating paneer? I see the doubtful faces. Let me die eating prasadam. You know, but you know that those stories, lung cancer and all these cancers, and you know. So a doctor there gives you the cruel news. He gives you the Bowden class. Your time is up. And people really, you know, there are so many stories. Just Google it. So many stories. People change their lives. You know, they eat raw food. They do crazy things to save them their lives. And Prabhupada talks in one of his lectures about Prahlad Maharaj's instructions. Self-preservation, it's natural. Self-preservation is natural. If, he gives example, if somebody shouts, here, I'm always worried, maybe that's my paranoid nature, in all these big festivals, you know, I'm always worried, you know, that there is a fire or there is something, because I'm thinking, right? So I used to work in hospitals. So in these big hospitals, you have thousands, hundreds, thousands of people. And then you're always trained to think that if there's an emergency, there are things that you have to do. And then you have to go, and those who are bedridden and they have lack of mobility, you have to go and do certain things. Throw them to the floor, drag them around. You know, you're trained every 3 months, 6 months, etc. Right? So Prabhupada says, if somebody shouts fire, I mean, here in Mayapur, maybe that don't work. Fire, and everyone's like, how do you all, you know. But if you know you're in a crowded place in the West and somebody shouts fire, or in the airport, somebody shouts, you know, I cannot even say the word peacefully, you know, bomb or something, because, you know, immigration will get you. Everybody will run. And Prabhupada says that's nature. Because naturally, you want to save yourself. That's the expression. How Prabhupada calls it, the defense mechanism of the Lord. You know, like you have computer programmers, yeah? And then they program, you know, different software, etc. And they have systems. If something happens, then the system will do something. So Krishna has programmed us in that way. That when things go wrong, you want to save yourself. So, we need to learn all these things. That's why we read Srimad Bhagavatam. That's why we hear Bhagavad Gita. We associate with devotees. We engage in service. That's why. Because if not, Maya will take us away. Just like the turtle. Prabhupada gives this very lively description of the turtle. You know, there's a turbulence in the ocean, right? And then the turtle was happily swimming, and then he was caught by this whirlpool, and then it started drowning. Right? Turtles generally don't drown like that, because they live in the ocean, so they are quite experts. But he was caught, and this turbulence was shuffled around and tossed. So he comes up, and there is a log, floating log, with a hole, right? So he comes, and by the grace of the Lord, providence, comes up right there. So he has a buoy, has a floater. So he's happily thinking, you know, here I am, Mayapur, nice. Well, now weather is a little, you know, tough, but still, you see, Mayapur. It's amazing. It's like better than any 5-star hotel. You have so many devotees for free. Yeah, for free. So you have to come for the programs and you have the association. I think Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that just by touching accidentally yourself with the body of the devotees, you are purified. Right? So you're thinking, oh, this is comfortable. I'm thinking, oh, I'm doing good here. This is nice, you know, the deities, and I'm doing some service, I'm chanting. And slowly, slowly, without even realizing, you start becoming complacent. You start taking things for granted. You know, I'm not doing too bad, actually. I'm in fact doing much better than many, many out there. And slowly, slowly, Maya start creeping in. And you're losing the opportunity to be safe and eventually get out of that situation of struggling, just like the turtle. So the turtle forgets. And then he says, let me go out and enjoy a little. I come back to Mayapur anyway. I have a 5-year visa, or I'm a resident, or whatever. And then slowly, slowly might start crawling in your consciousness. And just like the turtle. So he leaves the safety of the floating log, and again the turbulence catches him or her. And then when he or she is struggling again, wants to come back, but the opportunity is not there. The power, the shakti, it's gone. The piety, whatever things he or she has done in the past, or offenses have been committed. So the person is devoid from the opportunity to associate with devotees. And then you are alone. One GBC in South America used to tell us, always remember, where is my service? Where is my service? It's like your keys or your mobile phone, right? Where's my mobile phone? Where's my wallet? Your devotional service is the most important thing. Where is my service? This is my service. I protect my service. Right? I protect the opportunity. This is like a diamond to serve the devotees, to serve Guru, Srila Prabhupada, Krishna, this movement. Yeah, that's the empowerment. Yeah, so we are every day praying. Every day. So this is the pastime. The protection of the Lord comes in the form of instructions, like Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, in the form of His holy name, that's why we have to chant, in the form of association, and timely so, in the form of prasadam. Right? Right? So now, you know how it is. At this time, 8:45, prasadam start, you know, looming around our mental picture. So this is the pastime, and this is the scene where Lord Brahma, surprisingly, contradictorily, he comes and empowers Hiranyakashipu. Why? Because Lord Krishna has empowered him to create and to do many things. Right? So we are hearing, we are reading about this empowering process. So how can we make it practical? Right? How can we get the empowerment from the Lord to actually do some, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur used to say, some substantial service to the Sankirtan movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu? How can we? This is our prayer, right? So if you have the answer, you can share. So we stop here. If there's any questions or comments, I will have a few minutes, I think. Cool. We have a there you go.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Thank you, Swaku. You know, how do you know, well, anyways, whether you're empowered or you're not empowered in your service, because you're not, I mean, you're there, you're doing your service, but you're not getting the results, but we're not supposed to be attached to the results. So if you're not actually, you know, getting the results that you want, not empowered?
How? So the question is, how can we test, right, ourselves if we are empowered or not? Because sometimes empowerment means that you get results. So, as everything in our philosophy, generally we have an absolute answer. Like 1 + 1 = 1, right? So, in one sense it's true. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, you know, Vaishnavas, great Vaishnavas, are also identified by the number of people they bring into the path of Vaishnavism. Right? So that's one thing. Bhaktivinoda Thakur's statement is there. And you see there are people who are empowered. I mean, there are some of our leaders and preachers, they get 500,000 people chanting Hare Krishna. Polish tour, and there are millions of people chanting in the Namahata, in Calcutta. We just went on the weekend, 125 bhakti brikshas and programs all day long, and it's just amazing. So you can see the result. But also there is a different test, and that test, Krishna says, susukam kartumavyayam, ahaitukiya pratihata, that if you continue to do your service, without motivation, and you are feeling a lot of pleasure in doing that, maybe our service is very menial. Maybe you just have to sweep somewhere or arrange something very menial. But you're doing it with all your love. You know, there are stories from, you know, different of our great leaders, like Radhanath Swami. He tells a story. You know, he had the service to milk the cows for many, many years. Right? He was just milking the cows. He said, you know, many things were happening around, but he was milking the cows. He was happy. Like that. And like that, we see many, many devotees that for years they just done. Nobody knew about them. Like that. So, I also read something that caught my attention once in a Vyasa Puja book, Srila Prabhupada. And the devotee was describing that, you know, I think he was pondering the same thing, you know. He wasn't too much of a good book distributor. And, you know, in your days, you know, if you were empowered, you were one of those big ones who distribute maha big books, and, you know, many of them every day, pretty much, right? Those superstars. And then you had many little stars who distribute just a few books, right? So this Prabhu was writing about that. And then he was saying how to test if it was actually something was wrong, because he wasn't doing that many books. In his naivety, next time Prabhupada came, he came up to Prabhupada and he said, like, he wanted to ask, right? But he, all what, you know, many devotees had that experience when they were in the presence of Prabhupada, they would just got starstruck. They couldn't really say what they wanted to say. Some people just cry, some people just pay obeisance, and, you know, the mind was just like a big loudspeakers, like those ones that we hear here at night, you know, in the villages. It's like saying so many things, but they couldn't say a word. So all what he could say is, Prabhupada, I distribute your books. That's all what he could say. He wanted to ask. So that means that, you know, and just Prabhupada turned and he just gave him this big smile. And he said, thank you very much. You know? So the devotee writes that at that moment he got the answer to all his perplexities. He just had to please Prabhupada. He just had to grab that smile from Prabhupada, and he knew, you know, like a little baby. Sometimes the baby doesn't know how to walk properly or do things properly. He's very clumsy, but he says, you know, Papa or something like that. So you're attempting. We all are attempting, not you, but, you know. So it's a realization in your heart, susukam kartumavyayam, that if you feel happy and very, very happy, then there is something there. When you chant, when you associate, when you take prasadam, when you hear bhavatan, when you think of Prabhupada, when you think of Krishna, the deities, so many things. And if we feel something, that means that we have received some kind of empowerment. That in itself is good enough to take us out from this material world. Now there are some superstars who will go like a private jet back home, back to Godhead. And some of us may go on a snail pace. But one day we will make it, we have that hope. If we stick to Prabhupada's movement, Prabhupada's process, and his devotees, we're sure that one day we'll make it. And if meantime we're feeling good about it, that shows something. That's my little understanding. Any other question? Any other comments? Yes, Martin. I didn't get the last section.
You were talking about Lord Brahma reviving Hiranyakashipu and why he did that, because he later on terrorizes Prahlad and supports the demon. Mm-hmm. So what was your conclusion on that?
That's your homework.
I was trying to get to that point through the whole class.
You see, this is Krishna's pastime. And he's the director. So he says, okay, you're going to be the baddie. And you're going to be the goodie. in this movie. The next one, we're going to swap, like that. So he's the one. Why he plays the flute, why he chose the blue color, you know, what can I say? I have my likings, he has his. We respect that. Respect supreme individuality. Yeah, but it's a... In other words, you might say, okay, this is the point. Did you like the drama? Did you like Prahlad Maharaj pastime? Do you like Nrisimhadev appearing? Do you like Nrisimhadev? Yeah, so, yeah, I assume you like it, right? So it works. That's the whole thing. We may not know exactly why he did it like this or like that. In fact, the Shastras explain that this pastime happens with different details in different universes. Am I right? Yeah. You know, a little understanding I heard from seniors that that's too different. Maybe Brahma doesn't do it like this. Hiranyakashipu does it a little different. He rips him this way or that way or whatever. But the pastime is there. But whatever it is that Krishna does is amazing. It's great. You know, we love this pastime. You know, it's not we are into gory stories of him ripping Hiranyakashipu's intestines and, you know, we don't have any issues of that sort. But we like it. The feeling is good. He protects his devotees. Right? He protected Prabhupada. We like his pastime. Yes, we're here. We're proud of this. This is... I remember once I brought somebody to the temple. And we just have renovated or painted or something. And, you know, in our wisdom, we had put a Nrisimhadev painting. Huge one, you know. And the person goes in. She was a journalist in some, I don't know, TV station or something. The first, and she stayed there and stared at this. And I remember one devotee came up and says, "This is our religion." Like, I mean, whatever. He was overexcited about the whole thing. And she was like, "Okay." And then he started explaining the pastime and all that. I don't know how much she got, but definitely she got purified. She heard the pastime of Nrisimhadev, which is very rare. But people may not understand, but somehow this pastime, this deity, I was also reading the pastime of the deity appearing here in Mayapur. We don't have time for that now. But I recommend you buy 15 rupees, the booklet, about how Nrisimhadev appears in Mayapur. 86, I believe, but it started from 84 onwards. So we love this deity. Nrisimhadev is here. We pray to Prahlad Maharaj that we can serve his devotees, his preachers, those who are following his footsteps. And, you know, if we're happy about it, then we can't complain. There's no refund. Okay? So, Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai Gantarachamad Bhavatan ki, Jai Nitai Gaur Premanandi.